Hello, I'm Bethany Young, joined by Dean Troilo, and we have interviewed several students and teachers associated with the boys' soccer team. As most of us know, our Sterling boys are conference champions for the first time in 28 years. In this podcast, we interview a few players, coaches, and even a player from the last conference champs back in 1986. We begin our interview with JV boys' soccer coach, Mr. Justin Barringer. How proud are you of your varsity boys so far?
Very proud. Because I see the hard work that they put in for the last couple of years, and now it's starting to pay dividends, so I couldn't be more proud for a good group of kids.
Now, how hard is it to prepare JV players to become varsity?
The difficulty lies in the speed of the game. It's difficult to really simulate the speed of the game at the JV level, so the most difficult part is making sure that it is up-tempo, it's as fast as possible, but you can't prepare enough for the speed at the next level. So it's a little difficult.
And how does the talent on the JV team compare to that of the varsity team?
There are a lot of talented kids on the JV team. Excuse me, it's hard to say because if they were that much more talented, they would be playing varsity. So there's a little bit of a gap. Obviously, there's not much room on varsity either, but it's not too big. There's still a lot of talented players on the JV, so that I would say it's a small margin. I think they'll be just as good next year with the talent coming up.
Are there any specific players you feel will step it up next year?
There are some specific players that I hope would step it up. I really see a lot of promise in them. And yes, there are some specific players.
What do you think the JV team will need to work on in order to become a better varsity team next year?
They just need to work on playing as one unit. And if they can continue to work on being unified and going together as, you know, just one seamless unit, they'll be fine for next year.
Dean then had a quick chat with varsity goalie, junior Tyler Blair.
So Tyler, how does the game from the goalie position look rather than on the field positions?
Well, being a goalie, you're kind of the backup of everyone, so you kind of see everything. It's real relatable to a quarterback on a football team. You're the eyes and the ears of everything, so you kind of overlook everything compared to a striker where they just see the front half of the field.
How do you prepare yourself when the ball comes your way?
I kind of just go with the flow. I mean, depending on where the ball is, you kind of got to set yourself up.
What thoughts were running through your head after the West effort?
I was actually insanely tired, so I kind of just dropped in a watch everything take place, and just, I don't even know, there's not a feeling that you can describe how I was feeling. I mean, it was just amazing. I mean, everyone else can say the same thing, but it's definitely something I'll remember for the rest of my life.
I also got to talk to varsity left back and captain, John Kraus.
From a captain's standpoint, give your reaction on how far your team has come this year.
Well, just amazing, really, because this is the farthest we've ever gone since ever, 28 years since we won the Colonial Conference. It's an amazing feeling. It's also shocking because it's the first time in 28 years since we've done something big for the school, and it's a pleasure for me and the team to come out and make it happen.
Right, being a three-year starter, how does the varsity team compare to the ones in the past?
Well, I think every team I played with was actually a really good teams. I feel like every single one of us, all of us, had potential of doing good. Like, actually, last year was the so-called team to be the best, and nobody believed in our team this year because we had some inexperienced players coming up and taking some hard positions, like Tommy Sheehan. Jelion James has taken over that spot, and he's doing a great job by doing that. And I think all the teams I played with were good, but I think this one we played the best. We had the most chemistry, I feel.
Well, how do you feel you personally did during your game against West Deptford?
West Deptford was a huge game. I think I did fairly well. I think that I put up what I had to do. I did my best. And even the teams, they backed me up. I backed them up. And we just played a great game. And I think I did too.
And what will you and your team need to work on in order to continue advancing in your run through the playoffs?
We're just going to have to work on everything, just never stop. Okay, I have to have hard work and just fight through it. Just go hard at practices and at games especially, and just never give up.
Sterling Athletic Director Mr. Matt Sheehan talked to me about his experience on the soccer team the last time they won the conference 28 years ago.
So you were on the soccer team 28 years ago when they won the last conference. Do you remember the feeling of that night?
I do remember the feeling of that night when they won the conference title. It was a kind of relief for a lot of players because we had a goal in mind that year to win a championship of any kind. And I think when they finally accomplish that, like I said, there was a sense of a celebration, but B, relief. Many of the guys on the team played together, you know, their whole lives growing up in youth soccer. So it was kind of a culmination of their youth soccer and their high school experience.
Now, how do you think this team compares to the boys that you played with back in high school?
First comparison I would make, it seems like they're a very cohesive group that has good team chemistry. The team that from 86 had 16 seniors and I think 4 underclassmen. You know, I see the same commitment to teamwork in this class that the class from 86, 87 had. And that's really enjoyable to see. You know, to compare one team to the other would be unfair to both because they're both championship caliber teams who have done all the little things and all the hard work to be successful. So, you know, like I said, that teamwork is probably the most important quality that you see in any championship team, but especially the team from 86 and this team from 14.
What was your best memory from playing soccer here at Sterling?
I could go back, you know, long beyond the games. It's the friendships you make and the relationships you have with people. You know, that was really the most important part of any high school experiences are those relationships. I think any coach that doesn't try to instill that in his players, you know, may be remiss in their responsibilities as a coach if they don't, you know, really see that big picture that the wins and losses may fade, but those relationships will last a long time.
And how did being a part of the Sterling Athletics in high school encourage your career as Sterling's athletic director?
Very good question. You know, I had a very good athletic experience here at Sterling High School. I was part of a family that went through Sterling High School, and I still have nieces and nephews that are in school, and my kids will be in the school someday. So I think the fact that I had a good experience in high school, I wish that for everybody. It may not always be true, but I want to make sure that, you know, win, lose, or draw, that we're going to do the best we can to have every individual and every team prepared to have a good experience. And again, that's not always measured in wins and losses, but I think that that's probably a driving force behind my desire to teach and coach here and then also be an athletic administrator here. Is I really value the role that athletics played in my life, and I think that it's important for every student athlete to have a positive experience and allow them to grow as they go through high school.
And what is your biggest advice to this team as they go through the playoffs?
Well, that's another good question. I guess the sentiment that I have for these guys, I had the opportunity to be around them a little bit this year, and the sentiment that I made to them was, do what we didn't do. We didn't win a South Jersey championship. So, you know, I want them to pick up the torch for the class of 86, and don't be content with just winning a conference title. Give it all that they have to win a South Jersey, and, you know, make it a goal to win a state title. We've had one team in our school's history to win a state title, and that was in 1976. We fell short, but these guys are putting themselves in a position to go for that. And, you know, there's no shame in falling short, obviously, but I want to make it that it is their goal to continue to play better. You know, they don't owe it to the class of 86, but we kind of fell apart physically. We suffered some major injuries that maybe derailed our hopes of going further in state, you know, South Jersey and state. So I know on behalf of everybody from the 86 team and also behalf of, you know, the athletic department right now, we're wishing these guys nothing but the best of luck, and we hope that they will strive to do great things beyond the regular season and into the postseason.
All right, thank you.
Okay, well, thank you. I'm glad we finally caught up.
And now, a message from a student you probably don't know.
Hello, I'm John Fitzpatrick, and this is your brain. Say hello, Mr. Brain.
Hello, Mr. Brain.
Ha ha, what a kidder. You take care of your brain, right? Because you only have one brain, and you must be nice to it. Up to 46,000 teens in 8th through 12th grade have hurt their brain using drugs. This is an example of a nice, healthy brain. Now, this is your brain on alcohol.
Ouch.
This is your brain on cigarettes.
Ow.
This is your brain on marijuana.
No, you think this is pain.
Bad? Well, here's cocaine, LSD and angel dust, mushrooms, and heroin. Now, this is a dead brain. Why? Carelessness. Save your brain. Don't do drugs. For more information, visit teens.drugabuse.gov. This message is from Students Against Destructive Decisions and your friends here at WSHS Sterling High School Radio.
Are you looking for the latest news and updates around Sterling High School? Sterling Knights Radio Twitter page will keep you up to date with all the latest news going on around the castle. From sports updates, Spirit Week information, and weather delays, we will keep you up to date. Make sure to look out for the updates on the Knights playoff runs this year. Make sure to follow at Knights Radio today. That's at Knights Radio on Twitter. This message has been brought to you by your friends here at WSHS Sterling High School Radio.
We now return to the Boys Soccer Podcast here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio.
Paul McGrady has been an active member of the Sons of Pete fan base since the last season.
What pumps you up for the boys soccer games?
Boys soccer right now is pretty popular at Sterling. It's, you can even say they get more fans than the football games do. So it's pretty popular here. And recently, you know, the boys have been doing really well, and they just won the Colonial Conference for the first time in 28 years. And the students and the faculty, you know, are behind the guys, and we're real proud of them. And, you know, it doesn't really take much to pump people up for the game. There's so much riding, you can say, behind the season and how good of a team this is this year. And, you know, pushing towards that goal of that Colonial Conference title that we haven't had for so long really gets the students excited. And you can say it's just a good feeling that you want to be a part of.
As part of the Sons of Pete, how do you get the crowd excited?
You know, Sons of Pete, me and a few guys, we kind of took charge this year, Ryan Smith, Mike Williams, and Vinny Santoro. And what we kind of did was, well, they started a tradition last year with the Sons of Pete, and we want to keep it going. So one thing that they did was they took baby powder, and, you know, they handed it out to the fans, and they basically threw it up before the game. And that tradition kind of came from a basketball player, professional basketball player named LeBron James. He was a Cleveland Cavalier, and before the games, he would put some baby powder in his hand, and he'd throw it up to the fans. So they kind of did that last year, and we wanted to keep the tradition. So that really kind of gets the crowd excited at the beginning of the game. You know, we cover everyone in powder, and then it's just, like, excitement. Also, we bring a drum. The drum kind of keeps a beat for the game, and we use it to start cheers. And what we did, we gave out some noisemakers and things of that nature, which we're actually told to get rid of, which we did. We listened to the administration. And everyone, they go there, and they're all excited. All students love to be there, and, you know, they're there for the guys, and we love rooting them on.
And how do you think the boys react to the Sons of Pete being there?
I don't know. I know reaction from Coach Marley's. He really loves us being there. I know a lot of teachers like us there. They say, you know, it's great for the guys. You know, I talk to a lot of the guys on the soccer team, and for any sport you really like, you love having your fans there. I know even with when I played swim, and just having fans there in general, just rooting for you always makes you happy and always kind of makes you want to play harder for them and win the game for them. And they always give us support, and they always come to us at the end of the game and, you know, give us hugs or shake our hands or just kind of like pat us on the back for, you know, cheering for them and supporting them.
Do you feel as though superfans are important to any sports game?
I personally think they are. I know recently in the past history, superfans have gone out to big games for Sterling High School. Last game, we took a bus, about 50 kids. I think there are actually two buses, so more than 50 kids, and we drove 2 hours to the girls' volleyball state championship game, and we brought, you know, noisemakers, and we brought our Sterling flag, and I made a whole section there, and it felt like a home game to the girls, and I think that really pushed them and make them play a lot harder for that championship. We do that for a lot of games. The boys' soccer game, I know both games they've won this year, that the Sons of Pete and the Superfans were there. And I think it just gives a whole new element to high school sports usually, because all the students really get together and they figure out a plan and they support that team for that one game. It's real. It means a lot to those athletes.
Last but not least, I had a chance to talk to Mr. Pete Marlies. Marlies is the boys' varsity soccer coach.
How do you and the team feel when you see the Sons of Pete fill the crowd?
We love it. It's something that started last year, and it's grown, and I think Sterling's a great school in terms of the way students support each other, and the Sons of Pete is just one example of that. But I know that our guys, when they go out and they see their friends, fellow classmates supporting them, I think it helps us, and it gives us a little bit of an advantage.
Okay, tell us a little bit about how far these boys have come.
They've come very far. Half of my seniors did not even play freshman soccer. So, you know, we've had them for a limited time, which set us back a little bit, but they worked really hard. And the program as a whole has come a real long way since I took over the past 7 years to where we are today.
And what are they doing this year in comparison to last year as far as preparing for the games?
There's not a big difference in terms of our approach. We have changed some things up in terms of the way we practice. We're practicing a little bit shorter. We're having a little bit more rest. We're watching about the same amount of film, but the preparation day in and day out has been mostly the same.
Right, what was the significance of winning the West Deptford game to you, and where does that make you stand in your conference?
Well, when we won the West Deptford game, we knew that we were going to win the conference. We were first, they were second going into that game, so when we won that game, it put us in a really good position. And the significance was that was the first conference in 28 years. So what it meant to me and the team was, you know, you can't even really state how big of a win it was, how big of a moment it was for the entire program.
And as a coach, how do you feel about winning this game?
I just felt proud and happy for my boys. They worked so hard, you know, not just this year. A lot of them have been working hard at it for years. And as a coach, it just makes me happy that they got to experience this and they can forever now say that they won the Colonial Conference.
Okay, talk to us about the excitement the team felt when Jelani James made the winning goal against West Deptford with 4 minutes left in overtime.
Yeah, so like you said, Jelani, we're in overtime at 0-0. It's the first overtime. We play a ball through. Brian Hoff heads it onto Jelani. Jelani takes a touch, shoots, scores, and the game's over just like that. In high school soccer, there's the golden goal rule, which means in overtime, as soon as someone scores, it's over. You don't play out the remainder of overtime. So it ended in such a dramatic fashion. And then on top of that, it had won us the conference. So it was an incredible play, and the emotions were running high. I think a lot of people were in shock. Jelani himself, you know, myself, it was just kind of a lot to take in all at once. And again, I just tried to soak it in and watch the guys celebrate and enjoy their celebration because I knew how special it was for them.
How do you continue to work with your team to prepare for your games to come?
Well, you know, now that we achieved one of our goals, it could be easy, being that we won a championship, it could be easy to kind of take a step back and just be content. So really the biggest message moving forward in preparation is there's still other things out there that we can do and that we can achieve. You know, we can win another championship in Group 2, and that would be, you know, even more special.
And how does your competition look in the future?
Group 2 is really tough. We know that we are the number one seed, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to walk through this tournament. I think there's a handful of teams that are capable of winning it. There are every year. You know, the past couple of years, it's been rare that the one seed has won it. So we know that. And, you know, we look at teams like West Deptford, who, you know, there's a chance we'll see again, Cinnaminson, Middle Township, Woodstown. These teams are in the semifinals every year. They're good programs. So it's going to be a tough road. I think we're capable of winning, but we're going to have to play our best soccer.
But who do you think is your biggest threat in Group 2?
I think our biggest threats, you know, out of the schools that I just mentioned are probably Cinnaminson. Cinnaminson is the biggest threat. The rest of those teams I mentioned are very good, though.
And what will your team have to work on in order to advance in the playoffs?
I think we just need to work on maintaining the level that we've been at. We can't take a step back. We can't get complacent or relax. It needs to be. They need to understand that the next time we lose a game, their season is over. For the seniors, their career is over. And as long as that message is in the back of their heads, you know, we should keep that focus and intensity high and hopefully, you know, win the whole thing.
And what's your biggest advice that you can give to your teammates as far as advancing?
It's that. I you know, I don't mind putting pressure on a guy. So when I tell them things like, look, you lose, you go home, your season's over, you know, that's my advice because we often talk to them about, you know, what we would give to be on that field again. You know, yeah, I like coaching, but I like playing a lot more. You know, we'll bring back alumni who have graduated a year, two, 3 years ago and have them speak to them about what they would give to be playing again. And the guys, you know, need to really understand that this is a special moment in their lives and they should have fun with it, but they should do everything in their power to make sure it continues and it ends the way they want it to end.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you to all my interviewees for taking the time to talk to us about the boys and their accomplishments. Good luck, guys and girls, on their upcoming playoff games. I hope to see everyone out there. You have been listening to the Boys Soccer Podcast here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio.